Welcome to Crash Concepts, where the economy, energy, and the environment are explored. Up next, fresh ideas and insights into the factors that are driving the world and shaping your future. Presenting information you can't afford to live without, here's Chris Martinson.
Welcome to this Peak Prosperity podcast. I am your host, Chris Martinson. Now, at Peak Prosperity, we regularly and consistently tell people to diversify away from purely financial assets, paper financial assets, because we think the paper markets are bubbly, we think they're due for a massive correction, and entirely too risky to entrust with all your wealth. For many people, a great diversification vehicle are precious metals, gold and silver being the main ones to consider. So today, we're going to welcome Olivier Garrett of Hard Assets Alliance to the program. As a full disclosure, Peak Prosperity endorses Hard Assets Alliance as a platform for purchasing gold and silver, and we have a financial relationship with Hard Assets Alliance, or HAA, wherein we are compensated when people we direct their way do business with them. Now, we've done interviews with HAA before, and so today's podcast is to find out what's changed since the last time we talked and to better understand how HAA has improved its offerings and matches up to today's increasingly uncertain and complexly regulated world, especially for U.S. customers. Olivier, welcome.
Hello. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Hey, why don't you give us a quick summary of the mission behind HAA and why it was created?
All right. Well, Chris, as there's one of the major deterrents for people that are not yet gold buyers and customers is it's a little bit overwhelming. One is, you know, if you want to buy physical gold and store it in your house, you have to go find a dealer, make sure that they're reputable. Then you buy the gold. Hopefully, they sell you real bullion, not some collectible or things that are really not as valuable as what you want. So you have to really learn a lot about gold, and that's the first thing. The second thing is it's not a very transparent business. I think several years ago, there was a huge innovation called GLD, which is the ETF, the gold ETF. And it sounded like a great idea. You know, it basically made gold accessible to a broad public by providing a security that was backed by gold. And so it became very quickly, you know, the largest non-governmental gold holder in the world. The problem with GLD is, you know, they buy gold. It's basically there is counterparty risk. You really are buying a security. So if you're trying to buy gold to protect yourself from a potential financial collapse, you really are no better off than if you bought any other securities out there. And so that was when I set myself up at looking at a better solution, that was one of the things. We wanted to find a replacement to GLD, a way for people to buy gold, silver, platinum, palladium in an easy way where they could not only buy it almost as easily as they could log on to their e-brokerage account and, you know, get what they wanted, where they wanted, have it stored safely. And then the day they need to liquidate their position or part of their position, they can just go online and do the same. And that was our goal. And that's, you know, I am glad to say that the Hard Asset Alliance has delivered all of that. And one important thing, which I think is it's not by the Hard Asset Alliance is not allowing you to just buy gold that is commingled with other people's gold. It is your gold. So if you buy some silver eagles or gold eagles or 10-ounce bars or whatever, that's what is stored for you at the Hard Asset Alliance. And when you want to sell it, that's exactly what you sell. If you don't want to sell it, but you decide now it's time to take delivery and having it shipped to your home or somewhere else, you that's what you're getting. You're getting your gold, not a portion of a 100-ounce bar.
So gold or silver or palladium and platinum have been purchased on behalf of a customer. Presumably it's you have the certainty that it's real gold, silver, platinum, palladium. And give us an overview then of Hard Asset Alliance. Where is this gold stored?
So basically the Hard Asset Alliance has an agreements with some of the largest non-banking vaults in the world. In New York, Salt Lake City, and Sydney, it is with Brinks. And then we have Yamat, which is the international competitor in Zurich and London, and in Singapore, same thing. We basically are dealing with with vaults that are, storing gold for financial institutions, for governments. These are not fly-by-night companies. In addition to that, that gold is audited. The Hard Assets Alliance holdings of the customers are audited every quarterly by a Big Eight accounting firm. And we reconcile everything and make sure that everything is there according to what our records indicate.
Now, you said non-bank. Why is that important?
Well, I mean, it's important for a lot of reasons. One is... banks tend to follow the direction of governments. The second one is if there was a problem like there is right now in Greece, and banks are shut down, who knows whether you're going to be able to get into your vault. It's basically tied to with the financial system, and our view is that you want something that's completely separated. Why do large institutions, including banks, store their gold outside of the banking system? I mean, you'd think they would store their own gold because it's safer.
Absolutely. Well, that certainly touches on something I've been very, very concerned about, the banking system in general, particularly after the final G20 meeting in Brisbane, where they formalized the bail-in procedures and those rule sets are being established across the system. It's clear the banking system is becoming less trustworthy over time. The Libor scandals and other things just tell us, just exactly what those guys and girls are up to there.
Right.
So that's been something I've been concerned about a long time. And it's one of the reasons I liked HAA from the beginning, was setting it up so you've got fully allocated accounts, they're insured, they're audited, they're out of the bank system. Did I miss anything?
The other thing that you may have missed is that, because one of the nice things about the Hard Asset Alliance platform is that you are not really buying from one dealer. The platform really allows you to, when you go on and you try to buy some bullion, you see real-time prices, which are the result of the competitive bids of up to 15 different wholesalers and mints. So you have the largest suppliers of gold and silver bidding for the customer's business. And as a result of that, I would say the Hard Asset Alliance offer what I would call a everyday low price. It's a little bit like the Walmart saying. It's basically, you can, in the gold and silver business, you can always find somebody that will sell you at a loss to then try to upsell you to some other products that are higher margins. What you know for sure with the Hard Asset Alliance, our customers always have a very competitive cost time after time, and they never sold anything else but, real bullion that is uncirculated. And that's also very important. One of the things that people forget when they buy gold or silver and store it personally is once you take your bullion out of the system, if you take a bar out of the system and you break the chain of custody, where there's tracking from the time it was minted to the time you want to sell it, you are likely to have the bullion buyer wanting to reassay your gold. And to say the gold is, you may find out that the gold is, not perfect, or, if it's a buyer's market, maybe the buyer will say, well, I need to get a bigger cut because, there's some scratch on your coins, just things like that. One of the nice things about if you buy and store in the Hard Asset Alliance, you basically have a totally standardized product that has never been touched by anybody. And when you go to sell it, you just go in, you click on, there's no assaying, no checking. It's done automatically. It's exactly the same as selling a share of stock.
Olivier, our listeners really care about pricing. And so there's a couple of elements to this. One, the purchase side, are you getting a good price there? Two, storing it. Three, on the sell side, can you just walk us through what your pricing is?
Sure. So obviously, whenever you buy bullion, And we offer anything from 10 ounce coins to kilobars so you basically have a variety of product that have different markup. 10 ounce coins, it's not uncommon to have a 10%+ markup, but that's because of the minting cost that is integrated in the cost of the coin. If you buy a kilo bar, I mean, it's a very high price, it's a very low markup that is now, under 3%. So there is a range. But what I can say is, the Hard Asset Alliance, because of first, we are dealing with multiple bids all the time. The buying price is extremely competitive. Since the whole selling process, the whole transferring process is done electronically, all the way directly from the wholesalers to the vaults, or to you if you take delivery, it's a very efficient process. So it allows us to stay with very tight margin. Same thing for, storage cost. We usually have between 50 basis points or 0.5% to 0.8%, depending on the product. If silver being more expensive than gold, and obviously if you buy, you store a little bit versus a lot, there's the rates go down. But basically, you're talking about cost, at 0.5 to 0.8%, a cost that is a little bit more than what your ETF will charge you on a yearly basis as fees. So it's actually quite competitive. I mean, is it exactly the same? No, it's a little bit more expensive than holding an ETF. But, if you went to ask GLD to get your 10 ounces of gold, it's just not going to happen. You basically hold paper gold, which is, in my opinion, of very little value to protect yourself in the case of if you buy gold as insurance in case of a financial collapse, which is why I recommend to people that they should always have a fair amount of their assets allocated in physical precious metal.
Right. So we've got 10th ounce gold coins with the biggest markup. Of course, we're all familiar with that. That happens no matter where you purchase those. And as you buy increasingly larger units of gold, the actual percentage over premium that you pay over a spot goes right down, obviously. And the storage cost is 50 to 80 basis points. Obviously, there's some number of basis points even just to have the management of the GLD thing. But good luck. That's just a trust, right, where you own an interest in a basket. You don't actually own any physical at all, according to the prospectus, as I've read it. So you can move in, you can move out. I'm interested now in just real quickly. Take us through the formation and funding of a typical customer account. How does that work?
Well, it's first of all, I want to say I was the first one to open an account at the Hard Asset Alliance. So I personally have gone through the process several times. I have an IRA account, also an IRA account with the Hard Asset Alliance. Basically, for most individuals, it's actually very simple. You go online, you basically answer a few questions. Now, what you're doing at the Hard Asset Alliance, you're opening an account. You're not just buying gold. You're opening a financial account, so you do have to provide information like your address, and you have to go through a know your client rules and disclose a certain number of things to the U.S. government. The reality is, no matter where you do, you're going to have that issues. It takes probably 5 to 10 minutes to complete everything, and in my case, within 3 minutes of completing the application, my application was accepted. I would say for most individuals that have had, fairly stable financial history, have not moved in the last months, not changed, everything in the last couple of months, basically the verification process is seamless, and usually within a few hours, that your account is open. If it is somebody that has, we've seen a few cases where somebody has just moved and, the financial information does not quite correspond to what's in their database and things like that. So there's additional questions. This is fairly rare. If you're trying to open an account for a trust or an LLC or something like that, then usually there's a little more documentation required, and the Hard Asset Alliance then follows up with you and asks you for those documents. And it takes, you know, usually a matter of a couple of days if you have access to those documents right away. So it's still pretty seamless. Once you've opened your account, most people fund using ACHs, you know, with their bank. They basically, so what you need to do then is enter your bank information. There's a verification where the bank sends a fake or one little transfer, and then you have to verify that you received it and things like that. So that's a process. It usually takes 1 to 2 days maximum. You can, of course, send a wire to fund your account, and that's just the time of sending a wire. Or you could send a check. It takes a little time for the check to be received and to clear before you can buy your gold or your precious metal. So it's very seamless. It's actually, in my opinion, it's a lot easier than opening a bank account at your neighborhood bank, and faster, and a lot less questions. Once you've gone through that and you've funded your account, then you go online and you can buy and sell. And that is just like about as easy as you would do anything on your E-Trade or ScottTrade Fidelity account.
Now, what about credit cards or Bitcoin or anything like that? Does that tie in at all yet?
These are things that we are actually looking at doing. We're still working on some of the details. It will be available in the next few months, but at this point, that's not an option.
Okay, so somebody's opened an account, they've bought, they get to choose which vault they want it in, whether it's in Singapore or New York or in Switzerland?
Actually, yes. When you get on the Hard Asset Alliance, and let's say you're looking at buying 1 ounce gold coins, you will see the price in New York. You will see the price in Singapore, in Zurich, real time. And you'll see that there's usually a little bit of a difference. We're talking very small difference in prices. You know, maybe sometimes on a gold coin, it may be a different as much of a dollar more in certain location than others. And the reason is because different dealers are bidding for your business in different places. So what you're seeing is a market in real time. If you want to store your gold in Singapore, you buy it in Singapore, in the Singapore marketplace, and it's delivered directly to the vault. And same thing if it's in Zurich. So usually the cheapest of all the locations because of liquidity is New York. It's not always the case, but almost always the case. And then the others are very, very competitively priced, a little bit above that, but very close. And you see that. So as you choose, let's say if you're ambivalent of having it stored in between Zurich or Singapore, you can choose the one that has the best price.
Okay. And if I do choose it, wherever I've chosen to store it, talk to me about like if I want to actually take delivery of this and how that works. And does it change the delivery cost if it's in Zurich versus Singapore?
When you take the delivery of your gold, I mean, again, if you buy it to store it and then 2 or 3 years down the road, you want to take delivery, all you have to do is you go online and you ask to take delivery. And basically you will get a quote for shipping, which will depend. Obviously, if you're based in the U.S., if your gold is stored in New York, it's going to be a little cheaper to ship back than if it is in Zurich. We are basically using, you know, some of the, I mean, Viamat is one of the largest shipper of gold anywhere in the world, and they are very competitive. It's usually we're talking, you know, a little bit more than FedEx packages for an insurance shipment. So it's not very expensive, and you just get it. It's usually shipped within 2 days of you actually asking for delivery on the website. And if there's any problem, you're a 1-800 number away from getting a real person to help you through that process.
Okay. So that all sounds very clear. Now, one of the things is a U.S. person that's really a big problem in my life is all of the reporting requirements that have come up. We've got all these FATCA reporting requirements. We've got the FBARS, which is your foreign bank report that you have to file if you have any foreign accounts. So if I open an account, Olivier, and I store my gold in Singapore, Do I now have to be aware of all the FATCA and FBAR filing requirements?
No. One of the benefits, and I actually can touch base on both the benefits and potential disadvantage of having a hard asset alliance account. One of the benefits is it is a U.S. account. So your gold is stored elsewhere, but your account is actually a U.S. account. So you for the purpose of the U.S. government, there is no reporting of your gold at your level. The hard asset alliance has to report the overall gold that is stored over there. But that's not the customer. It's very seamless. And that is, you know, I mean, I know I have, you know, multiple accounts, and my FATCA reporting is almost like a booklet, every year. People don't realize that the U.S. government, theoretically in the U.S., we don't have, exchange controls and supposedly you're able to do anything you want with your money and export it out of the country. What the U.S. government has done is it's established exchange control by having a very burdensome reporting. And the Hard Assets Alliance goes all around that. Now, the slight disadvantage of a Hard Asset Alliance is that because it's a U.S. account, technically, a U.S. agency, the IRS or anything, could take an action or a court, a U.S. court, could take an action and actually confiscate or freeze your account. The reality is, you know, is it really that difference? If you have an account offshore, if the account is in your name, if you have not set up a complex foreign trust and everything, the U.S. can force you to repatriate. And if you don't do it, I mean, you're in contempt of court. The nice thing is having your gold or silver stored outside of the country is in the past, whenever there's been restriction, like in 1933 was when Roosevelt made gold illegal, ownership of gold illegal for individuals, it was all focused on the gold that was stored and available domestically. So there's an advantage. The other thing is, if you know something is coming, you can't take delivery outside of the country. So in this case, it gets completely out of the account. And you know, then if the U.S. wants to freeze or to ask you to repatriate the account, there's nothing left in the account.
So if you were in Singapore, you could take delivery in Singapore.
It's a little more complicated than taking delivery at your home or at your address of record. It takes a little more time. And the reason is we have to make sure that who is taking delivery is the owner of the actual owner of the gold and silver. We can't just ship gold and find out after the fact that, you know, this went to the wrong address. There's multiple level of verification if you're not shipping to the address of record, but it is possible.
Okay. So you mentioned some magic words to me before, because a lot of people are interested in this, which is IRA and I guess 401k. So talk to us about how HAA and those savings vehicles line up.
Well, one of the things that we started now a few years ago is an option to open directly through the Hard Asset Alliance an IRA account. And basically, you can open an account and the basically as easily as you open a personal account. At the same time as you open your account, you actually apply to open a custodial account. And that's also all done online. And the beauty of the Hard Asset Alliance account right now is, or IRA account, is that you actually can store gold outside of the country in your IRA. And that is, as far as I know, this is truly unique to the Hard Asset Alliance. People can have their gold store. Right now it's in Zurich. It's only available in Zurich, but you can basically store eagles in your IRA in Zurich outside of the country.
Oh, that is very attractive. I don't know of any other option like that right now. All right. So does that apply to all the different IRA vehicles, like a SEP IRA or whatever?
I mean, you can do SEP IRAs, 401k. I mean, as you know, 401k, if it is an individual 401k, it would work. Obviously, if it's your employer's 401k, it has to go through your employer. until you decide to leave your employer, and then you can roll into an IRA of your own choice that you set up.
Great.
So if somebody were to leave an employer, had a big 401k account and decided they wanted to roll it over into an IRA, a personal IRA, then they could open an IRA with the Hard Asset Alliance and have that roll over.
Got it. Okay. So, you know, what I'm interested in is, so you guys are kind of at the front lines of the physical market, and, you know, a lot of our listeners and myself included, very frustrated with what's going on in the paper gold, paper silver markets. They're obviously just trading vehicles for people with a lot of leverage who are speculating. You know, you watch gold and it trades in lockstep with the yen or with the dollar or with a variety of other mm-hmm. cross-correlated assets. It's not trading on its own. What's interesting, I guess, is to get your views, such, you know, whatever you've got from the physical side. Because, you know, we've been over here tracking the flow of gold from west to east. We see the withdrawals from the Shanghai Gold Exchange. It just seems extraordinary to us to hear about refineries in Switzerland running three shifts just to come up with kilo bars that are going to go somewhere.
Exactly. Well, I mean, again, I think your subscribers are very, very well aware that the paper gold market is multiple size bigger than the physical market. And what it means is that the price that are being set up right now in the world gold market are not set up by the reality of the physical gold market. And what is amazing to me is you look at yesterday. I mean, you know, on a day where there was a major financial crisis in Greece and the markets got hit and everything, the dollar went up. And as a result of the dollar went up, I mean, the precious metal markets were actually somewhat soft. And it's to me, it is a huge opportunity for people that have not yet bought their precious metal. You have a window before the markets finally recognize the real value of physical gold and silver. You have a window to buy a commodity at 10 cents on the dollar. And that won't last forever. And I think it is really, you know, when you look at the amount of gold and silver that the Chinese, the Russians, the Indians are buying, it is staggering. And I think we were discussing at some point earlier that the fact that, you know, while the Chinese are reporting officially somewhere around 4,000 tons of gold, I mean, they, in my opinion, based on flows and things like that, and what we've looked at, they have to own at least at this point is two or three times that much, which places them ahead of the United States. If you believe the United States still own gold in Fort Knox, I think actually all that gold has long gone to China.
Well, it would be great if we could get an audit. Seems like a very simple request, and I can't think of any legitimate reason not to provide an audit, if only to get people to quiet down. And yet none have happened. And people send me stuff saying, "Oh no, we did audit," but when you actually look at what that audit was and how it was conducted, it was very, very thin. They basically cracked a couple of vaults, peeked in, and didn't count anything, and said, "Yeah, it looks like gold." So not very rigorous. So we don't know. And that uncertainty alone, Olivia, I would have thought would have added some speculative value to the price of gold, but the traders seem to be fully locked in this idea that the paper value is all that matters at this point in time. I know that that's going to change at some point.
And my view is it's going to actually to change in the Shanghai market. One of these days, the Shanghai market will take a life of its own, and the paper gold prices in the U.S. won't matter anymore.
Interesting. Well, this gets us to the point of liquidity, and I'm really interested in how HAA can help solve this. So, couple of points in time when gold and silver have taken real hits. I remember one time I was actually at the offices of Mike Maloney at goldsilver.com when we broke through that 1500 floor on gold, and silver took this big shellacking and their phones were ringing off the hook. It was almost all people buying. And in the 6 weeks after that, it was almost impossible for people to source silver just because the number of people who already own silver, that, you know, a silver bug's out here, decided to go out and purchase a little more, and it completely rinsed the supply chain for what we would call retail silver. And then people were waiting 6-8 weeks and for delivery and all of that, which introduces a lot of risk to the purchaser. So how do you first, do you have experience with during one of those crises in terms of whether that impacted your ability to source and stock stuff on the fly or not?
No, we've never had that problem to source. And we are dealing with literally the largest suppliers of gold and silver in the world, not just in New York, but in New York, in Singapore, in Zurich, in London. But that said, I can't say that there won't be a day where gold and silver, physical gold and silver, will be very hard to get by. What I can tell you is if we can't get it, nobody will be able to get it. I remember in 2008, that was at the time running KC Research, and we had obviously affiliate relationships with all kinds of bullion dealers, and there were a period in the fall of 2008 where no matter what site, APMEX, Kitco, everybody was out of gold coins. The only thing that you could still sometime acquire were semi-precious metal coins, and those are not a good deal. You don't want to buy those if you can. You really want to buy your standard bullion coins, issued by government. Even in, I would say, If I have a good piece of advice for your listeners or for our listeners is don't even buy special coins minted by the United States government or the Canadian government. I know the Canadian government's done and the Australian governments have done all kinds of special run mints. You want to buy the absolute standard Gold Eagle, Buffalo, Maple coins. You want to buy something totally standard. The day you need to sell, if you have anything that is a semi-precious metal coin, especially if it's a tough market to sell, the buyers of gold coins will actually pay you the melt value minus a percentage, as opposed to an eagle where you're still going to get a couple of percent above spot when you sell them.
Yeah. Thinking it is confusing because there's a lot of products out there. And when I first started buying silver, I got all kinds of stuff, a lot of junk silver, which I still love. But I've since discovered in talking with somebody who was running a shop in 1980 when silver went then to nearly went over $40 an ounce, that they had a huge backlog of all these people bringing their junk silver in, and they couldn't accept it at extraordinary discount because it has to go to a refiner. And the refineries, there's only so many, and the refineries had a 6 to 8 week backlog, and nobody would accept. Silver was moving so rapidly in price then that nobody was willing to accept giving you anything close to spot for it because of the risk.
Exactly. I mean, again, you're buying gold and silver as I am buying it for insurance. You want the best policy. The best policy is getting the most in demand, most liquid type of gold silver product. That is, to me, that is the most important thing. Get something is, you get an eagle, everybody around the world knows what an eagle is. If you need to redeem that eagle in South Africa or in Bangkok, in Shanghai, anywhere, it is still a gold eagle. You don't want to buy some kind of coin minted by the Mexican government that people may or may not know.
Yeah, it's insurance policy. You want a Lloyd's insurance policy. You don't want an Acme 123 policy,
right,
out of Omaha. You want something a little better. You want that thing recognized. And of course, but this liquidity is very important because I'm convinced, could be wrong, but I'm convinced that when these markets start to move, liquidity is going to be a very, very big issue. And to both on the buy and the sell side. And mm-hmm. So people are going to want to be able to move in, move out. So that's what I like about, one of the big things I like about HAA is being tied into that platform. It just feels as liquid as I, a retail person, can have access to unless I want to become a large bullion bank.
Absolutely. And, one other thing I just like to maybe, because I know and I've had a lot of conversation with a lot of, KC Research subscribers and everything that wanted to take ownership of their gold and silver. I think it's a great idea, by the way, to have a certain amount of coins that you have on a hand or somewhere that where it is, and you make sure you don't know anybody. But having a very large amount of assets, either buried in your backyard or in your house, is really asking for trouble. And In addition to that, as I mentioned before, once you take those coins, those bullions out of the chain of custody, you are at the mercy of the buyer, the bullion buyer, and whether or not they will, if the market is a little bit illiquid, whether they will buy them at face value. If you keep everything in custody for the bulk of your, insurance investment, and only keep some precious metal, on hand, I think you're in actually a much better shape because you can take that inventory that you have at the Hard Asset Alliance and sell part of it if you have a need for cash. You can do things immediately, much faster than you can run to a dealer, especially if that dealer is not, for some reason, doesn't want to buy, like it was the case in 81, where all of a sudden market dried out and nobody wanted to buy gold coins.
Right. Yeah, it was very fluid moment then, but I think it's going to be fluid. That's what I'm learning again, relearning from the Greece situation is that, Olivia, it's just astonishing to me to look up these pictures, open up the paper. Well, I actually have to go online to see this. My papers aren't doing any reporting here in the US, right. But what I'm seeing is images of 50, 60, 100 people in line for an ATM. I'm confused how they find themselves in that line because where were they for the past 3 years? As this thing was clearly heading to this sort of an outcome. But yet that tells me that this is how people are, that when the time comes, people are going to start lining up. The shortages I saw in silver in 2008 and in 2011 and in, I think we had another one in 13, those happened just because the few percent of people who already own silver decided to up their holdings a little bit. I'll make this prediction. When just 5% of the people in the United States decide they want to get into precious metals, I think the supply chains just dry up for a while.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, I thought your article that you sent yesterday, your alert that you sent yesterday was fantastic. I mean, look, this, the Greek, we had the events in Cyprus, now in Greece. Look, the markets have been artificially stabilized by central banks. The risks are increasing worldwide, whether it's a crisis in China, whether it's expansion of a crisis in Europe. Hopefully it won't happen for a long time. But what you were saying, Greek people that should have been prepared, especially since they have cousins in Cyprus that are also Greeks that had the issue a few years ago, we're not prepared. I mean, as if you care about your family and everything, I think that people should definitely review their entire financial disaster plan and make sure they are prepared. And then they can live on and hope that life will continue to be as good as it has been, for many more years. But I think it's just very, very short-sighted not to be planning for potential banking collapse.
And even if it isn't banking collapse, it's just going to be outright seizure of your funds because the governments have been, they haven't even tried to hide this, Olivier. They've said, listen, we would like to have a better ability to put capital controls into place. We're going to start waging this subtle war on cash. If we can get that out of the system, then we could tag you with negative interest rates in your savings accounts. We would love to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
They're telling you all the ways they want to take your money from you. And gold has been historically, I guess, past performance, no predictor of future success, but historically has been a great way to protect yourself from paper shenanigans, currency mismanagement, and just regulatory weirdness as governments get desperate.
But yeah, and by the way, this controls from governments, I mean, are all over already. I mean, if anybody, I'm sure a lot of your readers and listeners are not, had to open foreign financial bank accounts. But I will tell you, it has become virtually impossible to do so. I happen to do a lot of banking, outside of the country. I am a Swiss citizen, and the Swiss banks have basically kicked me out of my own country, even though, because I live in the U.S. So it's basically less and less. It's really becoming almost impossible to take money outside of the U.S. through financial institutions. It's going to get only worse. And I think in that respect, also having an account at the Hard Asset Alliance with some money that is outside of the country is a good idea.
I absolutely couldn't agree more. And by the way, I ran into trouble trying to open a Canadian account 6 years ago. So it was already tough then. It's gotten worse since. So, yeah.
Canada is the easy, is one of the easiest places for Americans to have a foreign bank account.
Yeah. I was at an RBS branch and they just pushed the application right back across the desk at me when they found out I was US. Like, No, we're not going to do this with you. So those soft controls are in place, harder ones to be expected coming to a theater near you. Of course they are. So we've been talking with Olivier Garrett of the Hard Assets Alliance. Obviously, Peak Prosperity loves these guys. We do promote them. We think they've got a great product, and we do have a financial relationship with them. We believe in them, and people have been very happy so far with everything that we've gotten back from our end from people who have opened accounts. So if I'd invite any listeners, you want to find out more, you want the details about Hard Asset Alliance, you can go to peakprosperity.com. You scroll to the bottom of the main page, to the resources section, click on the link that says where to buy gold and silver. There you'll be directed to a page where the HAA benefits are described, or you could go to their website, which is hardassetalliance.com. And note that assets is plural in that, hardassetsalliance.com. Olivier, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. I will also mention, as people link from your site, they will get to the Hard Asset Alliance website, and there they can find a Smart Metals Action Kit that will give them a lot more details. And obviously, they can, if there's, you know, our customer service people will be happy to help them if there's any further questions they have.
Oh, real quick, what's in that kit?
Well, it basically tells you all. This kit basically summarizes all the benefits and all the process, and has a lot of question and answers that goes beyond what some of the items that we talked to. It's a very very comprehensive, and it it does a lot of comparison, and it reminds you of some of the features that we may not have covered, and that might be of value to your customers.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to look that up, and I. Unfortunately, see gold languishing again because the Greek thing wasn't big enough. But
that's the opportunity.
That's the opportunity. I love it. So take advantage of this opportunity, everybody. I certainly have been. I've been a net buyer again this year, and it's been a few years since I've done that. So with that, Olivier, best of luck, and we'll be in touch soon.
Yes, thank you for having me.